Well, look who joins us this morning, Robin Wilson, front man from the Gin Blossoms. They're going to be at Shawnee Bluff Vineyard tonight, 8 o'clock. Special guest Tonic and Vertical Horizon join them. Tickets and info right now at ShawneeBluffWinery.com. Robin, thanks so much for joining us this morning, man. Really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Good day to you. We're excited because today is the first day on the tour with Vertical Horizon and Tonic. So it's the beginning of our summer, really.
Yeah, should be a blast. Robin, so much of music, and I guess really you can say the entertainment business in general, is ego-driven. Is that ever an issue for you guys in the band?
Well, sure. I mean, we all have our separate ambitions. We're all songwriters, and you know, we compete with each other as songwriters. And of course, I think I'm the best one. in that sense, yes. But I've never really been concerned with being famous. If that's what you're driving at, my goal has always been success.
Right.
To be successful, to be really good. That's what motivates me. And, you know, it's never for me been about, like, being famous or whatever. But, you know, that's sort of a side effect.
I got you.
But I don't really think of us as being famous. You know, we're like a mid-level rock band. Like those guys in that movie, Almost Famous. We're a mid-level band. We've got a good thing. And, you know, it's not a lot of pressure to be, like, a celebrity. Not like... Like, I know a couple celebrities, like Mark McGrath.
Right.
He's a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
That man is a celebrity. He's a famous person.
And the women love him, too, by the way.
I'm not in the same league or category of notoriety as him.
I had your bandmate Jesse on a couple of years ago, and we were talking about, you know, doing your music in concert and how he mentioned at one point he wished you guys could maybe change it up a little bit from time to time. Do you feel that way, too?
Well, yes, but what happens is you develop a set list and it, you know, begins to flow a certain way. There's some songs that don't really work next to other songs, and you sort of land on the best way to start the show and end the show. And so, you know, it usually takes us a handful of shows to put the set list together, and then we kind of stick with it for a long time. And within that, there's room to swap out a few things here and there, but you have to kind of hit the main notes in the set list. But right now, we're just kind of getting it together, and it's flowing pretty good.
And of course, you know, fans are always expecting a certain song is going to be played a certain way, but are you ever tempted to, you know, mix up till I hear it from you in a different way, maybe some sort of different musical mix or whatever?
No, I'm not particularly tempted to change things. I like to, especially with the hits, I like to reproduce them, you know, relatively faithfully, you know, and it doesn't have to, and it's never a note-for-note reproduction
mm-hmm.
of the recording, but I like to aim for something along those lines. But, you know, when you capture something on tape, it's never going to be performed like that quite again. And, you know, I hear people say all the time, oh, you sound just like your records. And I just roll my eyes at them and go, no, we don't. You know, I think we don't really play it like the record. But if we manage to trick people into thinking that, then I guess that's a pretty good thing.
Yeah, if I were in your place, I would probably consider that a compliment, tell you the truth. So, you know, I mean,
well, I of course I do. I just think they're wrong. You know? But that I'm entitled to think they're wrong, so whatever. You know, it's important to me that our fans are satisfied and that we put on a good show. And, you know, I see things in the set that, you know, the people out in the audience aren't going to notice. And, you know, that's kind of what I mean when I say they're wrong. They don't see all the details that I do.
How long do you see yourself doing this, Robin? I mean, can you imagine yourself like Mick Jagger, maybe someday 70 years old, still rocking up there?
I can imagine it now. It never could before, but now that we're all in our 50s, yeah, you know, we're staring down the barrel of our third act.
Yeah.
And we could have never imagined when we were in our 20s that we would be in our 50s and still doing this, and that the band would still be viable and making good records and out on tour, selling as many tickets as we ever did. Nobody could have pictured that. But now that we are sort of headed in, you know, we're in, you know, the beginning stages of our third act, I can see it. And we've done enough shows with bands like REO Speedwagon or whatever over the years where you see them, you know, they're 10, 15 years ahead of us
right.
in this race. And so they're at the end of their third act and, you know, they're wondering how much longer they can keep it going. And so for us, you know, it's really just a matter of all of us staying healthy. We're making good music, and we're about to release our first new record in a while, and it's the best thing we've done in 25 years, rejuvenated in a lot of ways.
And we're going to talk about that album in just a second here. We're visiting with Robin Wilson of the Gin Blossoms. You can catch them at Shawnee Bluff Vineyard tonight, 8 o'clock. Going to be a fantastic show. They're there with guests Tonic and Vertical Horizon. Tickets and info at ShawneeBluffWinery.com. Fireworks after the show. It's going to be a blast. And yeah, that new album, Robin, Mixed Reality, is due out June 15th. I was giving it a listen. Is there a song? Do you guys know which song you'll be releasing to radio first? Which one might we be hearing right out of the box?
Well, it's the first track on the record. It's called Break. And that is going to be the first single I'm putting together. I'm producing and directing the video that we'll be filming later this month. And I feel like it's one of the best songs I've ever written, and I'm super proud. My son, Gray, is 16 years old. He played the tambourine on that track.
Oh, cool.
And he did a fabulous job. And then also on that record, there's a song called The Devil's Daughter. It's the dirtiest song I've ever written. And my son played the cowbell and did hand claps with the producers on that one. So I'm super proud.
And I did notice, and obviously we can't say the title on the radio here, but there's a 30-second piece on there called JFK Blank Show that it just sounds like you guys were just sort of having fun in between songs or whatever. Is that what was going on?
Well, yeah, it was fun to record that, but I had written that, you know, a good year or so before we went to make the record. I live in New York on Long Island. I fly every week out of JFK Airport. And it's, you know, it's a constant frustration mm-hmm. to me. I just, the place is so disorganized and there's nobody running it. There's no one in charge.
Yeah.
So I get angry and, you know, there's no one to blame. It's like blaming the wind for blowing, you know, it's just this, you know, out of control sort of chaotic force of nature. And you land in a plane at JFK and of course there's nowhere to park, and so you'll sit there on the tarmac for a half an hour waiting for a parking space for the
thing. It is
insane. And then it'll take another 40 minutes to get your bags once you get back, and it's just such a mess.
It is insane.
I hate it so
yeah.
much, so I wrote that song. And I'm sorry you can't say the full title, but that's how I feel about
yeah.
that place.
No,
you know, it just seems like everybody just started working there, and no one's worked there for more than a week, and... Anyway,
you
know, and I know you source of inspiration.
You mean it as a serious thing, and I get that, and I totally agree with you. I've been in and out of JFK a number of times, but I got a good laugh out loud from it. I really enjoyed it personally. It's called JFK S Show, so that's all I'm going to say. You can, but you, if you,
yeah, you, pick, and, you know, I, of course, I'm, you know, I mean what I say in the lyrics, but it's like you've interpreted it. It's meant to be like a fun toss off. Song. It's only 22 seconds long.
Right.
And, you know, one of my favorite records was A Night at the Opera by Queen.
Right.
And they always put in little interludes. On Night at the Opera, there's a song called Lazing on a Sunday Afternoon. And it's sort of modeled after that. You know, it's meant to sound like an old ragtime number or whatever. So, anyway, I made an official video for that song, too. I went one day, a few weeks ago, I had a delay, and so I walked around the airport filming broken luggage carts and filthy garbage cans and, you know, just stupid stuff around the airport, and I made a video for the JFK song. And so that'll be up on our YouTube page probably like as soon as the album is released.
It's perfect. It reminds me of the very last song or one of the last songs on the Beatles' Abbey Road, Her Majesty. Just kind of just
sure,
a quick
sure,
look.
Yeah.
You know, so kind of
yeah.
cool.
It's meant to evoke that sort of thing. But, you know, I mean, it's only 22 seconds long, so it barely counts as a song. You know, it's really more of just a sort of a bonus track. But, We found a way to insert it into the sequence, so it's being presented like a real song, but in a way it isn't. So, yeah. In answer to your question, though, I'm very pleased about the first single, Break. It's a fantastic tune. Everyone in the band, we're all songwriters, and everybody turned in their best material for this album. Jesse wrote some great songs that we'll be doing tonight, and we'll probably be releasing one of his songs as a single called Here Again, and it's a sort of classic sounding Jim Blossom song.
Cool.
Sounds great. And then our bass player Bill Lean wrote some fantastic material at the very end of the record. One of his songs is called Mega Pond King, and it's just the perfect way to end the record. And when we were recording, there was at the end of the song, Bill had me singing la 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 la, and I went to him and I'm like, no, I really don't want to sing la 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 la. I think that's really lazy when bands do that. And you need to write some words, or I'm going to write some words. And so Bill stepped up and wrote real words for the la 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 parts, and they're so fantastic. They really mean a lot. It's the perfect way to end the record. And so if you see, when you buy the record, on the interior of the package, you'll see a photograph of Bill's handwritten lyrics. And that's what he handed me in the studio and said, okay, here's the lyrics for the end of that song. And it was just such a perfect moment in the recording of the record. And, those of us in the band sort of pushing each other and trying to make it the best album it could be. And I was really proud of Bill. And I will also say that his bass playing on this record is really, I think, some of the best bass guitar I have ever heard on a pop rock record.
Really?
It's just fantastic performance from Bill. And so I think of Bill, I mean, we all kicked butt, but I think of Bill as the MVP on Mixed Reality. He really just did a fabulous job all around.
It sounds like a musician's album. It really does. That's the way you describe it. You know, something a true musician would really appreciate.
Yeah, so. It's an old-fashioned rock and roll record recorded in the old way and written and performed in like an old fashioned traditional rock band. And I've heard people lately say things like, oh, nobody's making good records anymore, and nobody's there's no good music anymore. And to them I say, well, eat it and listen to our new album. It is a solid old school record done in the traditional way. I'm especially proud that we got to work with producers Don Dixon and Mitch Easter. So do you know who those guys are?
I do not. I cannot say I recognize those names.
Okay. Don Dixon and Mitch Easter produced the first three REM records.
Oh,
and
wow.
Don Dixon went on to produce Marshall Crenshaw and the Smithereens and so many of my favorite albums. So working with these guys is a full circle event for our band. The music that they recorded in the 80s, I mean, our band was formed in the wake of groups like REM and the Smithereens. And so for us to go back to be here in the future recording with those guys, it's really special. And there's just no way, if I could go back in time and tell my 20-year-old self that one day in the future, not only will you be in a band that means something, but you're going to make a record with Don and Mitch. There's just no way that 20-year-old kid would believe it.
That is quite a feather, yeah. And to have your hands in with somebody who had a hand in that is unbelievable,
Absolutely. I was a teenager in Tempe, Arizona, working at the record stores, and REM was kind of the biggest band in that scene. If you were into college music, if you worked at the record store, you were really aware of REM. And then from that point, any record that Don Dixon produced would catch the attention of the entire scene. So those records had a huge impact on the Tempe, Arizona music scene when it was just in its embryonic form. And if it hadn't been for REM and the Smithereens and Marshall Crenshaw, right. you know, the Gin Blossoms might not have ever existed.
Sure.
They certainly wouldn't sound the way we do. So big influences on us, and it's really cool to have made our best record in 25 years with these fabulous dudes, and we couldn't be more proud.
We're visiting with Robin Wilson of the Gin Blossoms. How do you songwrite, Robin? Do you need to sort of get into a special place, you know, like a mood or something, or are you one of those people? There are some who can just pretty much fire it up when the inspiration strikes and do it when you need to.
Well, you know, I'm always on the lookout for inspiration. When I think of a lyrical idea or a melody or something, I get the kernel of it down, either, you know, singing into my phone, or I write the lyric down in my notebook. But I'm not the most prolific songwriter. I only really write a song when I have something I really want to say and when I feel like I've got an idea that I want to share with our fans. And, you know, like in contrast, our guitar player, Jesse Valenzuela, he's a songwriting machine, and he's at it like every day, and he writes songs for movies and TV shows and, you know, and for other artists and stuff. And he's just constantly churning out songs. And it isn't, you know, I don't think Jesse looks at it in the same way that I do. I think he's just trying to write a good song.
Right.
And he's not particularly concerned with where it ends up. But when I'm writing something, I'm thinking about Gin Blossoms and our fans. And, you know, I have a tremendous respect for Jesse's ability to churn out great songs with such consistency. And but that's just not the way I work. I kind of wait until I need a song, and then I really turn it on.
I got you.
And that happened for this record. You know, we knew we were going to be making a record. The plan was to record it in the fall of 2016, and so starting in early 2016, I was thinking, okay, I really need to start writing songs. I really need to start writing songs. And about that time, my son came to me. He was 14 at the time, and he said, "Dad, how do you write songs?" So I said to him, "Well, you think about the things you want to say, and you think about the bands that you want to sound like, and what kind of message do you want to deliver? What kind of mood do you want to create?" And so I had just gotten through sort of explaining that to him, and then within a few weeks of that, I picked up my guitar, and all of this great stuff just started pouring out. And so I give him some of the credit for helping me to reconnect with my elemental drive as a songwriter. And I think as a songwriter, I feel like I did tap into something really primal and really elemental within myself. And I feel like I wrote songs that I would have wanted to present to the Gin Blossoms in 1990, and songs that I think we would have really wanted to record in those days, too. So I could not be more pleased with the record, and I'm so excited that it's finally coming out. It's been a long process. Again, I began writing the songs in early 2016.
Right.
And it's been done and in the can now for just over a year. And then we signed a deal with this label, and we had to wait to put it out. So it's been about a 2-year process, and it's finally get to share it with people. And it's our best work in so long, and I couldn't be more proud.
Well, it's great stuff. I know I heard it yesterday, and it's just fantastic. And I wish you nothing but the best with it. I have to bounce this off you, Robin. There's this recurring dream that guys in radio, and I've been in this business over 30 years, guys in radio have, where, you know, you're sitting there doing your show and none of the equipment works, the mic doesn't work, you can't get any music on the air, nothing. And it's like this frightening dream that you have throughout your entire life. Is there a band version of that dream where you're on stage, the instruments aren't working, nothing? Have you ever heard of that?
I mean, it's a familiar concept, but I can't say that I have dreams like that. When I have dreams, I'm usually trying to escape from some sort of large building or something like that. And
right.
A lot of times, like, I can jump really high in my dreams. I don't know what the heck that represents, but that's what I do.
We could spend all morning on that probably, but you know.
I think I pretty well covered it. Like I say, I'm always trying to escape from something, and for whatever reason, I have to keep going back into the building. I can never get out of the building.
Right.
But if I am outside, I can jump really, really high in the air, kind of like the Hulk. Something like that.
I love that. You guys are with Tonic and Vertical Horizon tonight at Shawnee Bluff Vineyard. How well do you know those guys?
Well, fairly well. You know, I'd say that we are all very friendly acquaintances, and we've toured with Tonic numerous times before. We've been out with Vertical Horizon for a whole summer, and we've become very friendly with all of these guys. And it's a nice lineup. It's going to be a great, solid show. And these are all good dudes, veteran professionals. It's all good people. It's all good music. And it's a lot of familiar music. You know, each one of these bands has had a lot of radio hits.
Right.
And the music is really familiar to an audience. So it's going to be a really great show. And it's nice to be in a position where we're kind of, if not running things, you know, it's sort of our tour. We put it together and we're headlining.
Shawnee Bluff Vineyard's going to be rocking tonight. The show actually gets started at 6 o'clock, and then Jim Blossoms go on about 8. You can get tickets and more info at ShawneeBluffWinery.com. And Robin Wilson of the Jim Blossoms, I can't tell you what a pleasure it has been to have you here this morning. And I wish you guys nothing but success. Of course, the new album, Mixed Reality, due out June 15th. Pick it up. It's so worth it. And Robin, again, thank you so much. Really a pleasure.
Well, thank you, Kevin. I appreciate your time. And if I bump into you at the show, be sure to say hello.
I absolutely will. Thanks, sir.
You bet. Cheers.